You're listening to Lab Notes by PlayLabs, where we focus on gameplay, communication, and wellness. Let's get to the lab.
Hey, welcome back to Lab Notes. This is Spoon Man. I am here with Evan.
Hello.
And Jared.
As always.
Oh, I mixed it up that way. I want to see if you guys would catch on. But hey, hopefully you enjoyed last week. We talked a little bit about live service games. We're kind of continuing a bit of that conversation with a campaign-style game with expansions. We'll talk about that in a second, but let's find out what's going on at the lab.
So if you guys were out here this week for either the NFL draft event that we had here at the Hawk that PlayLabs was a part of, or if you came out to the Fortnite social gaming night we had on Wednesday, thanks for coming to that. And now you guys are listening to this. We're getting ready for the tournament coming up in 2 days, another Fortnite Duos tournament. So the last one went really well. We're looking forward to the exact same thing again. And coming up in April, we're going to have a ton of cool stuff. Keep an eye on our website. The calendar will be going live for April with all the stuff we have going on. But to give you a little preview, it's more Fortnite stuff, tournaments, maybe even a league this month. That's something that we're looking forward to doing. And if there's interest in other stuff at the lab, please let us know in the podcast channel and the Discord. Link to join that is down in the show notes, but we'd love to do more. We just got to hear from you guys in the community, and we'll definitely be doing another event with Grand Finals Gaming, hopefully in April. They said tentatively May, but we're going to look to make something happen earlier.
I heard it was pretty big, on the St. Paddy's Day event that you guys
had. Yeah, about 50 people in the space.
Nice.
A lot of different games that they were running. We were actually using both benches for their setups, and that was the first for that. So it was a great turnout. The community had a good time. Yeah, no complaints. It was a really cool event, and we'd love to keep doing them. It's just a matter of making sure that they have the support and staff to come and do those things.
Yeah. But you also don't want to...
Burnout,
exactly. That's what I was looking for, right? Yeah, do too many, and then all of a sudden people are like, all right, man, I can't do this every month.
They could do it every month. I think every week would be a little bit much.
Sure.
Once a month, there's people coming over from Canada, people from Ohio.
Nice.
So people come into the events, and they want to come here to the space. So we're happy to have you. Keep coming back.
That's sweet. Let's jump into this. So we were talking about expansions, right? Like, I think you guys gave me some examples, but Cyberpunk had, what was it called?
Phantom Liberty.
Phantom Liberty, right? Is it standalone, or is it, you know, are there elements from the first part or the, you know, the original game that you either needed to know or, you know, could you not play it unless you knew the...
You would need to know. The way that it was set up in-game was, which this is similar across other games such as like Fallout and Skyrim, where they're open world, so they're dropped into the game map itself, and it's sort of given as like another quest. So, you know, you get a random phone call in Cyberpunk from someone, and you answer it, you go to where they say, and then that kicks off the quest. So it feeds into, almost like a natural progression of your character, and in like it's just another quest to them, or it's just another thing they're doing, but it turns out to be this whole political conspiracy type thing and in-game, but that's kind of how it is. So you do need to know the prior events of it in some respect, especially because the DLC does have in its own way endings to the game. So you can actually take, depending on the path you choose in the DLC, that will end your game prematurely in some sense, legitimately, not like a, you know, death or anything like that, but it will do that. Other games, like I said, Fallout as an example, you'll get just a, you know, it's a radio message or something on your Pip-Boy. You go check that out. Oh, it's this DLC. And, you know, so it feeds in that way. So it's a little bit more.
So it is tied in.
It is tied in.
It's,
yeah.
It's a continuation.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yep. A continuation is a good way, I'd say it.
Yeah. Continuation, sort of like the new DLC coming out for Elden Ring and Shadow of the Erdtree.
Yes.
Being a continuation of the story, building on the world they already had.
Right, exactly.
And I believe Cyberpunk had a cost associated with it, didn't it? The DLC, you had to pay for it?
Yeah, it was $30, if I remember correctly.
So,
just that, though.
You as comparison,
yeah,
the DLC for the new Elden Ring, or same Elden Ring game, but new DLC coming out is $40, that's a steep price for a DLC. Someone might look at that and be like, that's a whole game. Or, I mean, if you're on Steam right now, you look at the spring sale, right, that's like 8 games.
Right,
but
right.
Did you feel the $30 was worth it in the case of the Cyberpunk expansion?
So I think Cyberpunk needs to have an asterisk next to it. Sorry, I can't say that word properly. Because that also came with a major update that fixed a lot of problems with the game and kind of rebuilt it in some senses. So while that part of it was free, the DLC portion of it, I personally thought it was worth the $30 because it kicked off a whole new level of enjoyment for me, where I played through it the first time it came out, or its initial release date, and I kind of forced my way through it just to enjoy it and finish it and be done with it. Didn't touch it again until the DLC came out, and then I was like, oh, it runs better, there's more to it. In terms of the way your character creation, or not creation, but your character progression is, like, they reworked the perk system, which also went hand in hand with this new DLC of the story in itself is what is supposed to drag you in. You know, you have Idris Elba as another major character, which is like kind of in keeping with their Keanu Reeves being the other guy.
Sure.
You know, so I think that certainly had a hand in, like, the $30 I thought was absolutely worth it overall. But
what would you say the initial game was in terms of time to complete? Was it a 50-hour game? Was it a 10-hour game?
I can speak from experience. I have a friend of mine who finished it in 13 hours just playing the story.
Okay.
Not doing anything else, just the main quest line, if you will.
So if you add
Phantom Liberty to
What would you, I mean, so is that an additional 13 hours worth of, or
that's
is it
a good
maybe
question.
Eight?
That's a good question. I'd say it was, if you were just going through that, it would probably be maybe close to 10 hours of gameplay if you're just doing the story. But that's kind of what happens with a lot of games like that, where you'll get stuck. You'll be enjoying it so much you end up going to do other things you don't even realize.
Yeah, that's understandable. I'm just talking about in terms
just
of
the story itself.
Dollars per content.
Oh, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Trying to go, okay, well, if our full game was $70, and let's just say that that's 70 hours worth of content, and here's our DLC or our expansion, and it's $40, and that's 40 hours of content. I wouldn't expect a full $70 worth of content from a $40 expansion, right? I mean, I shouldn't.
Right, sure. Right. You know? And I think, so I'm going to bounce over to Elden Ring here for the example. I paid, I think it was 60, was it when it came out?
It would have been 60 when it came
$60
out.
$60 when Elden Ring came out. And I have, as of this moment, 176 hours into it. I've played probably 3 characters close to endgame. I've only completed it once. But every time you play, you could play through with a different build or different weapons. So you're going back through, it's a different experience, and you're still finding new stuff.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So the new expansion coming out, which is priced at $40, you could probably blaze through it in maybe 20 to 30 hours, maybe even faster, depending on the level of experience. But one thing that FromSoft did really wisely was they introduced a new power scaling mechanic in the new area. So you don't go in as a level, you can go in there on a character that's level 100 or 130, which is very high, that's close to like endgame levels. You could go into that area at that level and you won't just blaze through it because you're so strong because of this new mechanic they introduced. So they want to make sure people don't buy it and then just blast through it in 4 hours. And they're like, well, that wasn't worth it.
Gotcha.
So I think it's not so much as how long it takes to complete, but how many extra hours you get of new experiences in that area. Because there's optional bosses and there's story bosses. So it's the same thing as the normal base game where, yeah, you can just blaze through all the main bosses and get to the end and be done, but there's so much to explore and side bosses that you discover randomly and you're like, oh, I've never fought this guy before. So there's probably a good, probably 30 to 40 hours of content.
Because it was also in our notes of Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon was one of the DLCs.
Right.
And I just was curious about that because I was thinking,
that was standalone, right?
So it is standalone because, yeah, you can buy it on Steam just that as a base. But it was, it's Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. It is a part of the third game, but it is a separate. You load it up separately. I was just curious. So that's $15 for it. And on howtobeat.com, it says most people pulled it around just the main story, 4.5 hours.
Yeah, because I didn't think it was very deep.
It wasn't. It was very much just, but then you have like a, yeah, because a completionist, people were saying 9 hours. So okay. Not too so much not longer. Much. Right. But I just thought that was interesting talking about that as like a, yeah, that's like a separate thing, but it says three. So it's a part of like three's overall grouping, I guess.
Want the lab to yourself? Host a private party and get exclusive access to our entire 3,000 square foot gaming lab for your birthday party, bachelor or bachelorette party, or company event. Visit playlabs.gg/party to book today. Use the promo code podcast for a $50 discount.
I try and analyze this stuff in terms of how you would see it, right? You have a straight version one of a game, version two of a game, version, you know, whatever. You just a whole new game each time. And maybe there's a reason for that change, right? It's a different universe or it's a different set of characters or whatever, different story in general. Kind of like Far Cry, right? Where each of the new versions is a different location, a different protagonist.
And different whole, bad guy.
Yeah, the whole deal. And then a DLC being, well, we're keeping with this story, but we're now, hey, we uncovered something else, mm-hmm. and now we want to share that with you, that kind of thing. All positive things aside for a second and play the bad guy for a second, is it either lazy? Hey, we don't want to make a full game. We're just going to continue on the current game we have. We have most of it built out and the story's already written. So I guess lazy is not a good word for it, but maybe it's lazy. Maybe it's, hey, we see everybody enjoyed the heck out of the first game, but we want to continue that story for their benefit. Or, hey, we couldn't get funding for the full Elden Ring 2. So, hey, the guys said, you know, the suit said, hey, they'll give us some funding to do a DLC. What do you think the decision factor is there? Like, is it just pure play? I want to think it's good, right? I want to go on the good side of everything and go, well, they're just giving more back to the people that love their game, which is what I hope it really is about. But we all know better.
So. in Cyberpunk's case, I feel like it probably went hand in hand with we're improving the game so well or to this massive degree, and why don't we also have some sort of DLC to go with it? Because that will influence people to come back, maybe. I think like that was... For me, I was very adamant on I'm going to play the game with the update without the DLC. If it is that different and that improved, then I will get the DLC, and that's what I did.
Well, just a quick correct or clarification. It is pure DLC, meaning that you cannot play it without the main game.
You cannot. You have to have
no standalone aspect to it.
Yeah, it's not standalone. Okay, it is just that.
So if you're a new player,
yeah,
and you wanted to play the expansion,
you're looking at
60, 70 bucks into it, maybe more.
Yeah, you would have had to have gotten the...
They usually have bundles on Steam when they release DLC. Not initially, but like if you discovered one of those games, you know, 2-3 years past its release, it'll be like, oh,
there's a deluxe edition
right, and then it's $80 instead of the full whatever.
I don't remember if it had that for Phantom Liberty when it came out. I think you had to get it standalone. Like you just had to purchase it on Steam under its own page.
Mm. I'm saying if you're a new player.
But if you're a new player, yeah, you have to get the base game, which is $60, plus the DLC, gotcha. Which is another $30.
Sure, $90.
Yeah, $90 into it. But I, like I said, I was very adamant of I'm going to see how much they've improved before I give them more of my money because I already felt kind of screwed after the last one.
Well, and I think that's a good strategy on their part, right? They're like, hey, here's an update that we fixed all the stuff that was shitty at launch. And if you enjoy it,
there's this.
Here's more.
Yeah, throw us a bone here and which, we'll give you a little extra.
Which that's so a
I
that's,
guess that's not a bad story.
That's a good point. Good point about it too is that the story for Phantom Liberty felt as on par with the base game. You know, so it didn't feel like it was something where they thought of it after almost. Gotcha. It was almost like they had this story in the works and they were thinking about it and they were like, well, why don't we package it along with this? Because yeah, it doesn't feel like if you were to play it brand new now and you did that, you would think it's a part of the game. The only way you even know it is a DLC in-game is because each of the quests have like a specific graphic to show that it's a part of that overall DLC. Gotcha. All the side quests have that sort of like you click on it and it has this the map area that the DLC is based in. So like that's the only way you know that it's a part of that. But yeah, I mean, for something like that, I mean, I think for Elden Ring, they like to make stuff like this, and I think they can easily get funding for DLC for things like that. I don't, you know, so I think that was part of.
But an Elden Ring 2 would have been a major undertaking, multi years in.
That's a whole other beast. Right.
Well, they probably it's probably already in the works.
Sure, sure.
But it probably isn't Elden Ring, because they've come out and said like this game, this universe, this is it.
I see.
There's not a continue. There's no Dark Souls 2, Dark Souls 3. There's no Elden Ring 2, Elden Ring 3. It'll be another fantastic FromSoft game, and I'll be excited to play it.
Yeah.
And that's just because I enjoyed Elden Ring so much. And I think this edition might have been in a unique position because the guy who wrote Game of Thrones was a part of the storyboarding, developing line for Elden Ring. He helped write that story. But I don't know if he helped write the expansion. That might have been them saying, oh, I want to do this. With Elden Ring being kind of a unique situation, I think any expansion is like, I think there's definitely been some games where they add stuff into it and it's just a cash grab. But I think that's more common in live service games where they have things like battle passes and things like that versus these games that come out as a complete product. And if everybody loves it and likes it, great. They probably have expansions in the works or planned and they see what the initial reception is. And then if it's positive, they say, okay, yeah, let's work on this. We have all the art for it. Let's put it into a world. Because it took 2 years for Shadow of the Erdtree to be developed and come out. So was it planned? Yes. Gotcha. Was it fully ready to release and they just like kept it in a box? Probably not.
I see.
Probably one of those things where they have a shelf of ideas and they go like, okay, so if it does well, here's where we can go, you know, to expand upon it. Because I didn't know that they weren't doing an Elden Ring 2 or 3 if it was just its own game. So that kind of sells it to me too of there is this... I think it goes back to like last week when we were talking about like a finality of sorts. Like, I don't know what happens next in Cyberpunk, for an example.
Right.
Like, I don't know what they're going to do.
But there's room for that.
But there's room for more if they want to push that. But that's already been announced that they're doing a second game.
So, I mean, I guess it's in a way it's, I think there's too much of a comparison to a sequel to a movie where the sequel to a movie is a fully formed new movie.
Yeah.
Some could be a DLC, trust me. There's definitely a sequel or two that I was just like, really? Could have just threw another 20 minutes into the show and I would have got it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's where the DLC kind of comes, or not DLC, the Battle Pass style type thing comes into play.
Yeah.
On a live service game. I don't feel that any of the Battle Passes that I've seen are really worth, those that have a charge for it, worth the extra money. You know, some are, and I don't even count like... the Helldiver stuff, I don't really count that as the War Bond as a true DLC. Well,
yeah, it's not really a DLC. And also, you can earn the Battle Pass.
Right.
You don't have to pay for it. You can earn enough super credits with enough playtime to be able to buy it and unlock it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is huge. Right?
I think that's great. It takes a bit of grinding. And if you've spent any super credits in the store and you're kind of casual player like me, maybe even like Evan, as far as like how much time you spend in the game. Maybe you're like, I just spent $400 on a new piece of armor. Now I'm really far away from that 1,000. But people that play it a lot and are probably really excited for that stuff, it's cool that they can just get it.
Sure.
And I think that's doing it right.
Yeah.
It's not DLC, but it is extra content, and that's how live service games should do it.
That's why I don't really feel that extra content is the same necessarily as... full-on new maps that you get with something like COD you don't get new maps or anything like that with Fortnite. You just get skins or something like that. Is that all
it's all mostly just cosmetics.
It's all cosmetics, right?
Yeah. The map changes with the season.
Yeah.
How that works.
They do it with the season.
So that's not something you have to buy. That's something that, hey, you're playing on this now.
Yeah, and I think the same thing goes for COD with the exception of multiplayer. So, yeah, interesting all the different ways to... further monetize a game, and to me it makes a lot of sense. I have a community built that play this game, give them something extra, make a little bit more cash. I've got no problem with paying for something that takes time to make. It's how it works. But I guess there's, you know, just the varying degrees of it, right? Like, how far do you go where you go, oh my gosh, if you're disappointed, I'm sure we could find plenty of examples of disappointing expansions that you paid for.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
At what point do you go, okay, this should have just been a a free DLC that they could have thrown in.
I think it all depends too on the sort of style that the game is going for, and you know, people justify that in their own ways. Like Far Cry as an example, all their DLCs are very goofy. You know, they're not very, like Far Cry 5, the story's based in like Montana. It's, you know, very serious, like culty stuff.
Right.
The DLC is fighting off zombies, fighting off aliens on Mars, and being in Vietnam trying to escape from behind enemy lines. Nothing related to, you know, only, and if anything, if there's anything related to the story or characters, it is in name passing only. It's very related. But then you have things like Phantom Liberty or Shadow of the Erdtree, or I'm trying to think of like some other like DLC for PlayStation games off the top of my head. Like Ghost of Tsushima had a whole nother island that was a DLC. And I think Last of Us had like Left Behind was their DLC, and that was adding an entire portion of backstory to like Ellie's character. So it was very important.
Okay.
You almost had to play it to understand her character more. And then you have Far Cry where it's very goofy and just kind of, you know, we had extra development time and this is what we did with it, right? Because they didn't, and that's, you know, company to company, obviously different. But
I mean, what it all kind of comes back to is just giving back to the community, and the community that enjoys the game and spends their time playing it and being in that universe will more than likely purchase the stuff or be very happy with the stuff that they're given for free. Don't get me wrong, people complain about free stuff too.
Sure.
But they will want to engage with that stuff that you're making, that you're spending money to make, and they'll be happy to spend money to purchase because they already like spending time there. Maybe you don't have time to put out a new game, or maybe your next new game is still like 3 or 4 years, and this is what you give them to satiate them and say, hey, you know, we still care about you guys. When this new game does come out, don't forget about us.
Right.
That's a part of it too, right? It's probably cheaper and less time consuming to, hey, we have a world built already. Like Phantom Liberty was that, I'm sure as an example, was that.
True.
Right? It was.
Right.
They have the models. They have the engine.
We have this city already here. All we have to do is just add to it, make the, you know, the story, the, you know, design the characters, have them act it, write it, and then it's done. You know, whereas developing Cyberpunk 2, right, you have a whole new engine, whole new driving system. You have all these other things that you have to add, whereas with a DLC, you don't have to make up a new driving system. You don't have to make up new combat or new enemies or anything like that.
Yep.
I mean, you can I'm sure, like, obviously Elden Ring is going to have new enemies and different
styles. There's new mechanics and new weapons, but it's all stuff that's already been made. It's just a variation of stuff they're already doing in that game.
They're just improving on something rather than creating something new.
Cyberpunk had new perks for the DLC.
Yeah.
And like that was it, right? You didn't get necessarily new cybernetic powers or, you know, pieces to add, but you got additions to the ones you already could use. I think it comes down to, I mean, people like spending time in those worlds, and you offer up a DLC for it, they will want to spend time there, even if it's just some minor, you know, The Last of Us DLC is probably a couple hours. You know, it's not really this major enhancement or expansion on the game. It's more of a story-based thing, which is, you know, going back to like what you said about like Helldivers and COD and, you know, Far Cry, like it's all dependent upon what they're going to do. And for single player campaign based games, that also goes in hand with how is the story. Is it fun and goofy? You're gonna have something like Blood Dragon. But if it's a little bit more of, we want to add more life into this world and bring people back to it, you get something like Phantom Liberty or Shadow of the Erdtree, or I'm trying to think of other DLC off the top of my head, but it's kind of like in Fallout 3 and New Vegas and 4 are all great examples of adding in more world building and story to it.
How about a different kind of DLC? How about the new Fallout series coming out on Amazon Prime?
I'm very excited for that.
That, me too. I never played Fallout.
Oh,
but
really?
It's a DLC for people to engage with that don't play the game or have no desire to, or maybe they do, but it's for them too. But like, there's been so much success in media, and this is kind of deviating, but we've kind of run the route on DLC being good or not. But they've decided to say, hey, let's expand this universe in a different way into media.
Now, I think that there's a little bit of
hubris.
I'm a skeptic in a lot of these things.
Okay.
Right? So I don't trust anybody. I don't take anything for granted. like The Last of Us, right? The Halo show.
I think you just gave two very contrasting examples. The Halo show was awful and people hated it.
Well, there are some variations to these things, right? Like, depending on the viewer. So Last of Us was done in such a way that you didn't really need to know the game at all.
No, it really went and told you that story.
But then again, you got HBO money. There's a big difference going on, right? HBO just throws piles of cash at something.
I'm curious.
And then you have this product that comes out of it. I don't think that there's HBO-level money going into the Halo show.
You might be surprised.
But keep in mind, you almost needed to know the story to be interested in it at all. And of course, they're going to disappoint you because it's never the way you think it's going to be. I never want them to don't take the helmet off. What's going on? Right.
That was
the end of it for me. I was like, all right, I don't care anymore.
So they were actually pretty similar in terms of their budget. Last of Us and Halo both got around $10 million per episode, which is very interesting.
Which one stayed closer to the source material?
Definitely The Last of Us.
And that's where they go wrong, right? I mean, that's how you lose big name actors like Henry Cavill stepping away from The Witcher, is because he was too passionate about sticking to the real story and how everything went. And they were like, no, we're going to do it differently.
Here's my issue, right? I don't need another Ghostbusters movie. I've got a video game that is an interactive movie. Don't go, you know what? We could probably make more money if we made a movie out of it. That's all I heard with these things. If you be realistic, as good as The Last of Us was, I swear to God, that's the reason why they did it. It's like, look at this rabid fan base. Ooh, we can give them something and make even more, get even more subscriptions.
Why did it take Nintendo so long to make the Mario movie? From you look at the original one,
well,
and then all the way to
now. Well, they were trying to figure out how much garbage they could actually generate with Mario's name on it. As Nintendo
people
does.
People were still buying it.
They keep throwing Mario's name at things. I mean, come on.
And then they tried a movie, and it ended up being, in my opinion, pretty great. I enjoyed it. I didn't see it.
Because I can't stand Mario. I can't stand Mario.
Fair enough.
In
it's
any
Chris
way,
Pratt,
shape,
though.
Form.
He doesn't have the Mario
Chris
voice.
Pratt. I don't mind Chris Pratt.
Close your eyes.
He didn't quite do the Mario that I expected him to do.
No, just close your eyes and watch the movie.
This podcast is produced by Podcast Nation. Just like great gamers are made at Playlabs, great podcasts are made at Podcast Nation. Visit us at podcastnation.com to learn more.
As someone who's gone through like both shows and games and all that stuff, I think it's interesting to see how they take it in terms of, you had very close ties in The Last of Us show from the people who were a part of the games, right? Neil Druckmann wrote the episodes, directed one of the episodes, and they only made slight changes for the story being based in TV and not being able to, you know, there's things you as a player can see and understand that people watching a show won't, and you'll get that extra knowledge. And I think that with the Halo show, they went, which is also weird because it's not like the people who made the Halo games were not a part of the show. Like you had... I don't remember. Her name's Kiki Wolfkill, and she's a part of the Halo games, and I think like their development. And you know, she said like, "No, this is going to be great." We showed it to a whole bunch of like the employees who worked on the games at 343 or whichever
Bungie
one.
It was one of them.
Yeah, and they were like, "Oh, they loved it." And then as a fan of the Halo show, you're watching it, and you're like, "This has nothing to do." Like you're missing. It's not just like the taking off the helmet, which is more of a visual. You're getting the character of Master Chief wrong, which is what I more so struggle with. Like, there's a lot of times in this new season where he's like, the Covenant are coming, and it's going to be bad. And everyone above him, his superiors, are like, nah, you sure your head's on right? It's like, you never heard that in the games. You know, you never heard anyone questioning his loyalty and all that sort of thing, where the show is trying to do that. And I think that's where people are more so finding the disconnect, because it's like, this isn't...
But you have to take that out of it. The reason why Last of Us worked, like I said, is because I didn't need to know. That didn't matter to your mom when she watched it.
Right.
She never played the game.
Right.
And it was still, the characters were engaging. It was interesting. The story was well told. That's really what matters. Just because it happens to be called The Last of Us. They could have called it something else.
I agree.
And, you know, but they clearly wanted to play off of the game and the value that provides to them as a community, right? We have people that enjoy the game. Let's give them something they'll enjoy. Yeah, I don't know. Some things just don't translate.
I think right? that I think it all depends. Well, that's a great question, or a great thing to say, because I was just thinking about when The Last of Us originally came out, people, when they were raving about it, were like, this is like one of the first games we've played that is almost like a movie or like mm-hmm. a TV show. The way it's told, the way it's shot in game, the way that, you know, the characters develop throughout this year long story is very much like a TV show or a movie. And that was probably easier to translate, where you're looking at a game like Halo, which has multiple books, multiple TV shows, comics, all this different media from right. different people that tell different stories. And you're like, we got to condense that, which in fairness makes sense why they would go, it's a separate timeline. You know, we're taking the characters, right. we're taking the story.
I think there's a lot more depth to the Halo universe.
Yes, there. Oh, right? Absolutely.
In general. And so you mentioned Fallout. Where's that going to go? I mean, I've been seeing rumors that they said, listen, hey, this is not for the people that play Fallout.
So
is it
going to
be a drama, right? Is it going to be more dramatic?
No,
more...
I think it's going to be a little goofy. I think there was a scene in the trailer where there was a guy in power armor shooting a minigun at a German Shepherd, and every shot was missing, and he was like 5-10 feet away. So I think there is some goofiness.
So it's Star Wars?
I think there's going to be some goofiness in terms of the... I mean, Fallout in itself is this very serious world, but yet you get these perks that make things so hilariously entertaining. You know, you get a perk called the Mysterious Stranger. Some random guy just shows up and shoots the guy that you're trying to kill all of a sudden. Like, you know, there's those sort of things.
You never played Fallout games?
Maybe a little bit. Okay. Maybe
I never really did
bit.
Either. That's going to be the question. But that's going to be the question.
Yeah.
Will either of us enjoy the show?
I enjoyed right. the trailer. That's very rarely
so that's
indicative.
That's going to be the question.
That's very rarely indicative of if the show's right. actually going to be good. But the right. trailer was goofy enough. I'll give it a chance. It's mm-hmm. on Amazon Prime. You watch an episode if you like it.
Yeah.
Stick with it. If not,
now
whatever.
You deal with commercials.
Well, they're all dropping on the same day. The whole series is out.
Yep. Oh, is that how they're going to do it?
Yeah, it's all okay. dropping the same day. I think
I'll have to pay $4 for the day. So I'd have to see the commercials.
It'll be interesting to see what you guys think of it, not having played the games, because as a fan of the series, I was loving every minute of it. I loved a lot of the, you know, the visuals of it. I think they got a lot of that right, of getting the people in the world down. And yeah. I think that Fallout has always been a great universe to tell stories in, because each game is in their own sort of world. Fallout 3 takes place in a certain year in a certain city. Fallout 4 takes place at a different time in a different city. New Vegas is different.
Yep.
And they're all not really related as to who you play as. You get mentions of things going on in other places that you might, as a player, go, oh, I remember he's talking about Fallout 3 or something like that. But, I mean, I was reading about how they wrote the show, and then the creator of the show talked to Todd Howard and was like, I just want to go over this with you, make sure that nothing is in Fallout 5, you know, like just to make sure that they're separate enough so that way it's not like, you know, we're copying off of your, you know, we didn't take right. anything from you guys. Right. I'm excited to see what you guys think, but we should have a little prediction.
Sure.
Something.
Well, last time we made a prediction, it ended up being pretty far off.
Yeah, which, by the way, is today's episode, right? Today's episode is the day that we said it was 2 months to the day. So what is the current PAL World
player count
tally?
I'm yeah. looking at it now. We'll see.
Let's find out.
Do you remember what?
I don't remember what the predictions were. Mine was way higher than
mine. I think I had the lowest of all of us, and I think mine was still high. But
I'm fairly certain that we're all off.
Yes.
We all, in terms of Price's Right rules, we all overbid. So.
Oh, yeah. So current players right now, 48,224.
Wow.
All-time, wow. 24-hour peak, 112,000, which is Ooh. Still down from last week.
Yeah.
It was like 10,000 down.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the all-time peak obviously stayed the same, 2.1 million. Yeah, huh. None of us were close on that. I think I said something like 600,000.
What
yeah.
we can do to stick with the theme of the episode, being DLC and things like that, they're adding a new PAL and a new raid to the game.
Okay.
And I will be curious as to check what their number actually goes back up to when they release that, if it draws back a large percentage of that 2 million, or if it's just, you know,
I don't think it will.
10,000.
I think you'll get a one-day spike.
I think you'll get people checking it out
yeah.
saying, this is the new content.
What's the release date for it?
I didn't even know they had a...
Yeah, I saw
is
that.
Is it one animal, like one
it's,
PAL?
It's like an it's evil a, PAL, and it's a raid.
Oh, so you have to do the raid to get it or something like that?
I'm not sure. I don't own the game, so I haven't played it.
I don't see anything. The most recent stuff about it was early February when it was talked about.
No, they were just talking about it last week.
Oh, really? Okay, I don't know why I'm not seeing
it. So it still might be a way up, but regardless, it'll be something we can come back to because I'm sure we'll see all kinds of marketing around it when it is going to be coming out.
Yeah, because they want to add raid bosses, which is probably what that is.
Yeah.
So, so end game content. So then that's an interesting thing, too, if it's end game content. So I don't think you're really going to get a lot of people back that didn't go through the end of it. Like, maybe a little bit. I mean, as someone...
Was there an end?
Well, no, it's open world, but there's definitely...
There's quests to do and stuff like that. Like, yeah. So, yeah. There's a point...
Is it like an end, like Minecraft has an end that nobody knew about forever?
Could be like that, yeah.
Maybe. Maybe. I doubt it.
You do these five things and the game says you won and then you play.
Yeah. Just go back to it.
Yeah, you just go back to playing again.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, let's wrap it up. What do we have coming up? You mentioned that there's some stuff coming up in April. Anything coming up at the lab next week?
We have our Fortnite tournament, and we have an open house on the same day.
Oh, okay.
It's that Sunday.
All right.
That's really all. The first week of April won't have a whole lot going on as we kind of just take a week to cool down. We'll have our coaching rolling out soon, so if you guys are interested in getting Fortnite, Smash Bros., Rocket League, League of Legends coaching, we're going to have the ability for you to get that either in person here at the lab or online.
Awesome.
So check that out. There'll be plenty of stuff on our socials about it. And then if you just want to come out to the lab with friends, we always love seeing you guys. So come say hi and come play some games.
Very good. All right. We will be back next week. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to Lab Notes. Visit playlabs.gg to find out more about our programming and schedule. Be sure to join our Discord and pop into the podcast channel to ask us questions or tell us what you think. See you next week. Game on.